Welcome, welcome, welcome. Amen. Well, we're starting another episode in Revelations. Now, we've gone through the seals, we've gone through the trumpets, and now this is just before the vials. But we're in chapter 12 of Revelations, and there is so much that's going on. But the biggest part of it is I want you all to take notice of. There is a battle between good and evil. And you all know this. But it gets more, shall I say, more prevalent in the 12th chapter of Revelations. And I want you to enjoy this teaching, this episode, because there's more to come, and I want you to sit back and learn everything you can learn, because it's coming. And don't think that you say, oh, Revelations is way down the road and I'll be good and gone before it happens. Well, wake up. There's a lot of things happening right now. So keep your eyes on, all right? Now, I want you to bring your boots today, because it's going to get a little deep. And I want you to bring your hat, because we will be doing a little bit of traveling. Because, as you know, the Bible is not in chronological order. Now, we are going to go through this 12th chapter, but we're going to be moving around so that I can make it plain and make it clear for you. Now, are there any praise reports today? Does anybody have something that has happened for them or to them that you just can't explain how it happened and you know it had to be God? If you don't have any reports today, we're going to keep going. Amen. All right. We're going to pray and get right into our lesson today. And I want you all to get your Bibles out, because I want you to follow me through this lesson. It's important. And if you do that, I promise you, you will learn something. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for this time, Lord. And we praise your holy name today, for thy name is great. Father, we invite the Holy Spirit of promise to be in this meeting in each one of our lives. And Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will walk up and down through the aisles, bringing your revealed knowledge to our insides and opening our spiritual eyes that we may see. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this wisdom. Thank you for this lesson. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Use me for your benefit and for your glory, Father. Amen. Now, we're ready. Amen. Now, we're going to go to chapter 12 of Revelations. Now, I want you to pay close attention. I need your undivided attention, and I need your imaginations, because some of this stuff is not written. So you have to imagine some of the things happening. Now, I'm not talking about it in some kind of weird way, but, you know, just pay attention. I think you'll really enjoy this lesson. Amen. The name of the lesson, it's called Two Great Wonders. Amen. Now, the first verse says, in Revelation chapter 12, there appeared two great wonders in heaven. The first verse says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now the woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet represent the glory of God around the birth of this child. Now the crown upon her head and the 12 stars represent authority, and the 12 tribes of Israel are the 12 disciples that Jesus left in charge to spread the gospel. It did not specify one or the other, but both of them are a blessing to the church and the Christian community. Now, number two says, and she being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. The woman who cried and travailed in birth and pained is describing all the things that the tribe of Israel went through before the birth of the Messiah. The other wonder in heaven is the dragon. Pay attention. Verse 3 says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Now he's talking about the 7 heads had 7 crowns, and there was also 10 horns. Now the red dragon awaits and is revealed to be none other than Satan himself. Amen. Now, he positions himself to destroy the child in heaven, while his evil spirit also infected Herod. You remember King Herod, who tried to destroy the child on the earth in Matthew, the 2nd chapter. So now we see that Satan was trying to destroy the child in heaven as well as on the earth. Now, if you want more information, you have to go back to some of the other episodes that we've already done that explain all of this information to you. Amen. Verse 4 says, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. So now this seems like it's really out of place to me. But I had to go down to verse number 7 to get the answer. So all of a sudden we're talking about him trying to kill the child, and then it rolls over into his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven. So verse 7 says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Verse 8, and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. That means that his residence in heaven was no longer. Let's go to verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceive the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now those angels, when it talked about in verse 4 where it says, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, this is what it's talking about, that these were Satan's angels. They were followers of Satan. They were angels, but a third of the angels in heaven left or were cast out for following Satan. Amen. Satan now has been kicked out of heaven. So now we go back to verse 4 again, because I did not read the whole, scripture. So let me read the first part, but we have a second part to it that I want you to understand that part also, because the two are not connected. They are connected, but they are not connected. You know, first it was talking about him after the child. Then it started talking about, how he was thrown out of heaven. We've shown you that. Now we're going to go back and see what verse 4 totally was about. Now, in his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. So we went over this part. Now, this is the other part of that scripture. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So now we come back to the original subject. After we, it came up with that interlude about them fighting in heaven. Now, we must not forget that God has a serious case against Israel for their rejection of Jesus Christ. 10 of the tribes of Israel did not believe in Jesus. They believed in God, okay? But they did not believe in Jesus. So Israel is still rejecting Christ. Israel is very hostile to Christ. This is Israel's problem. This is why they had all the travails and the pains before Jesus came, because, God took his hand off of them. And once Israel turns back to Jesus Christ, Israel's troubles are immediately over. Where do you stand with Christ is my question. And you got to answer that for yourself, because a lot of you believe in God, but some of you don't believe in Jesus. Some of you think Jesus is a major prophet and that's all, but he's not. He is the Savior. And if you go back to some of our episodes, we show where God provided a body for him to come here. We show where God did not like sacrifices of bulls and goats, okay? Because it never really absolved Israel of their sins. In other words, it takes blood to clear blood. In other words, for you to be cleared of all of your sins, it takes a blood sacrifice, a human blood sacrifice. Now, they believed in God, Israel did, and they followed the law. Now, if you go down to Galatians 3 and 24, and this is a detour from Revelations 12, but I need to show you these things. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, verse 24 says, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Who is faith and who brought faith? Jesus. So it tells you the law was your schoolmaster. All right. Verse 25 says, but after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. So it's saying after Jesus comes, we don't have to do the law anymore. Verse 26 says, for ye are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Amen. So it lets you know, once Jesus comes, the law is no longer. That doesn't mean you don't still follow the same rules, but Jesus and faith is what makes the difference now. Okay? Keep listening. See the Jewish expectations for the Messiah. It included a future leader who would restore Israel, bring peace, and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. That's what they were looking for. Many Jews expected a political and military leader not a spiritual figure who would be crucified like Jesus was. So, you know, they had all these expectations. And, you know, I see that in a lot of us. You know, we pray and ask God for something and we wait for it. And when it comes, if it does not come the way we thought it was going to come, or it doesn't look like the way we thought it was going to look, we don't accept it. Some of us turn our back and walk away. You know, you got to understand his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. So it's not going to appear like you want it. God is God and man is man. Amen. Now, verse 5 says that she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Verse 6 says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, if you want to, you know, the verses, like I told you, it's not in chronological order, so we're at verse 6. Go down to verse 14. And it reads, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Now the phrase, the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, comes from the book of Revelations, chapter 12, verse 14 in the Bible. It symbolizes divine protection, deliverance. The woman represents the faithful community of Israel, or the church. And the wings provided her with the means to escape persecution and find sanctuary in a place prepared by God. Amen. Now, this imagery of the eagle's wings often signifies strength, swiftness, and the ability to rise above a challenge, because eagles fly way above anybody else. Amen. This image reassures believers of God's care and the promise of refuge during difficult times. Now, they're not talking about just the scripture. He's talking about what God would do for his children. I'm going to read this part again because you need to understand this. Don't just think that he's doing this for the woman, because the woman represents the church and you are the church, are the faithful of God. So we're going to change that and put the faithful of God. Okay, now let's try it. The phrase, the woman was given 2 wings. Let's go back to verse 14. And to the woman, or unto the church, were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that they might fly into the wilderness, into their place, where God says she will be nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of evil, or the serpent. And listen, when we go back and look at this, we looked at the phrase, the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle. Okay, it symbolizes divine protection and deliverance for the believer. The church represents the faithful community. Okay, and the wings provide a means to escape persecution and find sanctuary in a place prepared by God. And I know God have looked over you all. Sometimes you've had to get up and get out and run and take shelter somewhere that nobody knew about. And God provided for you. And I don't know who he's talking to right now, but you know, and you know God was there for you, and it wasn't nothing but God, because the people that were looking for you were much stronger than you. Amen. Let's keep going. But the power of God is stronger than all of it. Just remember that. Now, you might not see God. He might not be there like a ham sandwich. But I promise you, his will, his way, his people, his strength, his word is there for you. Amen. Now, let's keep going. In chapter 12 of Revelations, and through our praise and worship with Jesus Christ, Jesus is making us partakers of the thoughts of God through the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? Now, I know in the Bible it talks about the mind of Christ, but when you pray to God in Jesus' name, the words that you receive back are, it is the mind of God, the thoughts of God. It comes through Jesus, and then it comes to the Holy Spirit to give to you, because he is your comforter. Amen. When Jesus left him here, that's what he said. He would be our comforter. Now, you got to understand, when God speaks to you, or when Jesus reveals things to you, this is not going to be an audible voice like James Earl Jones. Okay? You got to know that when God speaks to you, it sounds like you talking to you. Okay? You hear his voice, and it, you know, you ask him a question, and you ask in the name of Jesus, and all of a sudden you hear these things come back to you, instructions. And that's the Spirit speaking to you. Amen. Now, in 1 Corinthians 2, 16, this is what it says. For who have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's our promise, all right? From God. When he left this earth, Jesus, he gave us a comforter. And that comforter was with him the whole time he was here. And then when he left, he blew him on us. We've got him. Now, why do you need the mind of Christ? Well, let's find out. Verse 10 says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. So what happened is he'd been thrown out of heaven, so he can't go up there and accuse us day and night anymore. He's on the earth, but let's see what else happens. Verse 11 says, and they overcame him. How? How do we overcome Satan? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. It says their testimony, but it's talking about us. By the words of our testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now that's a pretty brash statement, but let me explain. I want to say to you, friends, that as long as you hold on to your life, as long as you hold on to your will, as long as you hold on to your own desires, you are going to stand alone. But when we reach the place where we are willing to die to the flesh, die to self, die to our ambitions, die to how much money I got and how can I make some more, you know, die to our will. That means God can use you now for his purpose and for his glory. The devil has no power over a person who is dead, because he's going to try to put everything in front of you. Money, women, men, big house, big cars, everything you can think of to see if you're dead or not. Now, when you're alive, you're going to bite on it. That's his temptation. That's how he gets you. And see, he just slowly pulls it over, and then he gives you some other commands. He's on one shoulder, God is on the other. And he's speaking to you in your ear, telling you, do this and don't do that. And so as long as you stay under God, you're safe. But when you start following him, he don't have to ask God to get you, because now you get on his property. You start taking his things and following him. Then he can do what he wants with you, because you're disobedient. So let's see where we were. The devil has no power over a person who is dead. The Spirit of God said, when I looked up on this crowd of people in heaven, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and by the virtue of the fact that they did not cherish their life even in the face of death. That's what that means. So now let's talk about it. When you talk about the blood of the Lamb, you're talking about cover your life in the blood of the Lamb, Father. Cover me in that blood. Amen. That's the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. When you talk about the word of their testimony, means you confess it, you telling people about what God did for you. Okay, you got your own testimony. You got a lot of things. That's the word of God that you keep alive by speaking it, not only to yourself, but to others. So that testimony, Satan can't overcome that. And he don't like that. And then what I told you, you love your life, you know, unto death. In other words, you don't love your life so much that you can't give up these things. That's your sacrifice for being a child of the Most High God, by giving up these things in the world. And when God gives it to you, you got it. Because if you pray for it and it's good for you, it will help you. God will see that you get it. But if it's, you know, something that's going to take you away from God, have you out there trying to be big time and, you know, got your chains and your gold on and got women all in the car and everything going on, God not going to give you that. Be real with yourself. Now, listen to this. It says, verse 12 says, therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Who is that? That's us. We're the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath. That means he's really upset, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. This message is important for believers, because it's going to get to the point in time where ain't no more faking and shaking, and ain't no more getting away, and ain't no more getting by on grandmama's and mama's prayers, or, you know, the deacons and your brothers and sisters. You got to know how to do it for yourself, because it's getting down to the wire now. And Satan is being cast down to the earth. He's coming for you. You better know what you need to do. Amen. Now, if you've heard this message and you felt something on the inside, You know, you already know in your heart what has to happen, because a lot of you been saved and left the church. Some of you got mad with the preacher or somebody in church and stopped going. And some of you know because you went to church with grandmother and mama and your uncle and your cousin and your daddy, okay, who went to church. You got to remember that. And if God is calling upon you, you need to answer. Don't let your emotions get in the way. Don't let things that happened in the past get in the way. But those things that you're feeling on the inside, that's the Holy Spirit calling you to respond. Amen. This isn't just about information. This is about transformation. Right now, wherever you are, whatever you are doing, Jesus is inviting you to come home, to surrender, to say yes to the truth, and yes to righteousness, yes to faithfulness. Whether you've accepted Jesus or not, you walked away from him, this is your moment to return. Now, don't wait and listen to the voice telling you, wait to another time, or it's embarrassing, or I'll be embarrassed if I go up. No, today is the day of salvation. Don't waste time. You don't know. I went to a funeral the other day of a young man, too young to be gone, but he gone. Never thinking that he would be gone, but he's gone. And so I'm saying to you, come on in. God is waiting. Jesus put out his hand for you to accept him in your life. Come on in. All right. I'm going to read the prayer to you now. In Romans 10, 9 through 10. And I want you all to repeat it right with me. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And if you spoke those words, if you repeated these things after me, you are saved. Now you need to come on in. If you need to talk, if you need some scriptures, if you need to know what to do with yourself, send us an email, okay? Or send us a message, DM us, okay? On our Facebook, we're on YouTube, we're on a lot of places, okay? We have our own app. Go to the App Store or the Google Play Store and put Rick H. Carter Ministries in there and download our app. You'll find a lot of things there. Seek us out. Our email is ministry147@gmail.com. This joy that I have, give it, the world can't take it away, take it away.